You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. In the previous two programs on Lazarus and the Rich Man, we saw from allowing the Bible to interpret the Bible that Lazarus didn't go to heaven when he died. We also proved that the rich man didn't go to an ever-burning hell fire when he died. And the hell where the rich man opened his eyes was the grave, or Hades, the word used in this account in Luke 16 for the word hell. And when he opens his eyes will be when he is resurrected, and then realizing the fate of burning up in Gehenna hell fire, not burning forever and ever, and never burning to death. The wages of sin is death, so says your Bible. We also saw that Lazarus being carried to Abraham's bosom is an intimate relationship with the father of the faithful, Abraham, and I should say an intimate spiritual relationship, and will inherit eternal life in the family and kingdom and government of God, which will be established on earth in the land of Palestine, which God promised to Abraham and his seed forever. Now let's get back to the rich man and the fate of the rich man. But when he, that is the rich man, is resurrected, he sees a flame which torments him. What is this flame? Now Jesus did on other occasions speak of punishing and being destroyed in Gehenna fire. What is this? It is described in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, as a lake of fire. Scripture everywhere describes the final fate of the wicked as being burned up by fire. It is this lake of fire, which is a second death from which there shall be no resurrection. The punishment is death by fire. They remain forever dead. This death is for all eternity, eternal punishment. But it is not eternal punishing. Now, opening his eyes in his grave, the rich man sees Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom, in his embrace. Yes, Jesus told the Pharisees that they would see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom, and they themselves thrust out. This rich man sees them. He also sees this awful flame, this lake of fire, which is about to destroy him forever. He is terrified. What happens when one is suddenly so terrified with fear? His mouth goes dry, his tongue sticks to his mouth and throat. The rich man cries out in his mental agony, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, if the rich man were in the kind of hell most people seem to believe, his whole body would be on fire. You would think he would have called for at least a bucket of water, if that would be the case. At least call for a bucket of water to put out the fire, wouldn't you? Look at this again. How much water did he call for? He said to Abraham, "Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water." Just a couple of drops, that's all the water he requested. Doesn't that strike you as kind of strange? Why did he call for water? To put out the fires of all hell? The kind of hell people would have you believe he was in? Oh no, my friends, he only wanted a mere couple of drops of water on Lazarus' finger. Why? To cool my tongue. That's what the rich man said. Open your Bible again and read it. The flame, he said, was tormenting him. This word tormented, used in verses 24 and 25, is translated from the original Greek word odunosai. This is defined in Lindell and Scott's Greek English lexicon as to cause pain, distress, pain of body, but also of mind and grief and distress. Why, of course, this rich man opens his eyes in his grave in a resurrection. He is resurrected mortal, just as he was before he died, not immortal like Lazarus. He sees the flame of fire. Now he knows the frightful and awful doom he is to be thrust into, to be burned up, destroyed. He is suffering mental anguish such as never experienced in his lifetime. His tongue is dry. He breaks out in a cold sweat. He cries for a little water on the tip of Lazarus' fingers to cool his tongue. He is in a condition of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, once again, read in your Bible. Read exactly what Jesus said, not what the hellfire preachers have told you, he said. Did Jesus say this rich man was going to suffer endless, forever, always burning, being on fire, yet never burning up? Did he? Of course not. There is not one word here about how long his anguish is to last. Jesus was saying these things to the Pharisees, verse 14. And what did he want to make them understand when he gave this account about Lazarus and the rich man? Jesus answers this question for us in Luke 13, verses 27 through 28, where he said to the same Pharisees, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out." Yes, they are going to be in exactly the same position as this rich man. Jesus is using him as an illustration to show the Pharisees what is to befall them. They are to be thrust out into the lake of fire, which shall consume them, leaving them neither root nor branch, as the scriptures say. The wicked are going to be cast into the lake of fire. When they lift up their eyes in the resurrection, they shall know that they are doomed, now to be cast into the lake of fire to be burned up. This rich man cried out for help because of his mental and physical agony. Knowing what was now to befall him, he knew he was guilty. When a man realizes he is guilty and faces his just and terrible retribution, the very first part of the body to be affected is the tongue, which dries out, seems to be on fire. Now, what is this gulf that the Bible speaks of between Lazarus and the rich man? But Abraham and Lazarus were afar off, and no water was brought. The rich man had to suffer mentally for his sins. He had had his reward in the material things he sought and craved during his mortal life. There is a great gulf fixed between this doomed sinner and all the glorified saints of God's kingdom. What is that great gulf? The gulf mentioned by Abraham prevents the wicked man from escaping death by hell fire, and which also keeps the righteous from being burned, is immortality. Or we could put it another way, and we say it's righteousness or it's sin, whichever category you fit in. Those who are immortal shall never die because they are born of God. You can read that in Revelation 20 and verse 6. But human beings who have not been begotten or born by the Spirit of God are still flesh, subject to corruption and death. They can be burned by fire. Don't forget, this is a literal fire, and the rich man is a human being composed of flesh and blood. Only the saved possesses immortality as a gift of God, Romans 2, verse 7. But the wicked reap anguish and wrath that shall devour the adversary, fiery indignation, Hebrews 10, verse 27. What happens when a body is being burned by a fire? There is a period of torture during which the fire consumes the body before the person dies. Then what about this rich man? Jesus didn't say he was immortal, for if he were, he would be spirit, and flames do not burn spirit. Fire is a physical process. It is combustion of matter. The rich man is a physical person as you and I. And Jesus leaves us in this account with the rich man hearing the words of Abraham in his mind or conscience and tormented in the flames that are bellowing about his body. A human body doesn't burn forever. It finally turns to ashes in a fire. Therefore, we must go to other verses of the Bible to find out exactly what did happen after the short conversation recorded here. Notice in Matthew 13 and verse 30, it speaks of the wicked being gathered into bundles to be burned. What happens to tares or weeds when in fire? They burn up. Again in Matthew 12 and verse 12, John warned the Pharisees that they would be burned up as chaff if they didn't repent. They are to be burned with unquenchable fire, a fire so hot that no amount of water put on it could put it out. because the flames would turn the water to steam. When God punishes the wicked, the fire will be unquenchable. But that doesn't say it won't burn itself out when it has nothing more to burn. An unquenchable fire can't be put out, but it can burn itself out when it has consumed everything. Notice what it says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, verse 3. Malachi speaks of this fire that will burn the rich man and all wicked people that don't repent, that have had their opportunity to do so and just deliberately refuses. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I shall do this. Doesn't sound like they're burning forever and ever, does it? This is the end of the wicked. They shall perish and not be any more. They shall perish into smoke, shall they consume away. You can read that in Psalms 37 and verse 20. The rich man then, being mortal flesh, is going to burn up after being tormented in the flame. He is going to die the second death, Revelation 20 and verse 14. The wages of sin is death, not endless torment and hell fire. You can read that in Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. So my friends, this is three programs that we've done on Lazarus and the rich man, showing that Lazarus didn't go to heaven, that Lazarus is in his grave waiting the resurrection, that the rich man didn't go to hell fire and is there burning forever and ever, that he was buried, he is in his grave and waiting on a resurrection and on his judgment, which will be hell fire, according to the Bible. Now, if you would like to understand more about the plan of salvation and what happens when you die, whether you are a sinner or whether you are a righteous person, and whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell, we invite you to call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and request your booklets, Does God Have a Plan for All Mankind? And request your free booklet, Lazarus and the Rich Man. And all you need do is just dial us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and ask for your free booklet, Does God Have a Plan for All Mankind? And your free booklet, Lazarus and the Rich Man. There's no cost, no obligation. No one will call on you. No one will pass your phone number, your email address, your address out to anyone. So you don't have to worry about that. Just call us toll-free for your literature. 800-611-8080.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.